Did you hear about the plane wreck? Yep, there was a plane that crashed out in the desert, and it left one man alive. And so he didn't have any water or any supplies with him. He was struggling out through the desert. I'm telling a story. Okay. And he was just walking along, and it was a hot desert area. And eventually he got so weak that he fell down to his knees, and he was crawling along on his hands and knees, and pretty soon he's down on his belly crawling along, and he's about ready to die. He needed water. He needed water. And all of a sudden he looks up, and there's 2 feet right in front of him. He looks up, and the guy said there, "Can I interest you in buying a tie?" "What? I don't need a tie. I need water." "I don't have any water with me, but I've got some nice, beautiful ties. If you want to buy one, I'll sell one to you really cheap, dirt cheap." "I don't want it. I need water. I don't want a tie." So the guy walks away. So the guy continues his crawling along, and he crawls over the edge of a ridge. He can't believe his eyes. There before him is a restaurant. And he manages to summon up all the last of his strength. He crawls across the lot and crawls to the front door. He says, "I need water. I've got to get in and get some water." The man said, "I'm sorry, sir. We don't allow gentlemen in here unless they're wearing a tie." Ted saw it coming a mile away. Yeah. Do you have everything you need? For the next few moments, for the next few days, for the rest of your life. This past year has been a rather challenging year, wouldn't you say? In many ways, some of you in terrifically horrible ways, some it's just another day, but a lot of people struggling with the many challenges that they have faced. We've had some great variations in how people have treated each other, whether they've had ties on or not. The interactions between people in our country especially has been kind of breathtaking to see how people have reacted to each other. A lot of people living by their own standards. And, of course, with their own standards comes suffering, fear, expense, crime, violence. But then those who trust in the Lord, who keep pressing on in the walk of Jesus, find His peace, His presence, His provision, His help, and His promise of eternity. Amen. Hopefully every single one of us here have tapped into and surrendered to the will of Jesus Christ and are enjoying the brotherhood that comes in serving the Lord of life in spite of the troubles and the challenges that we face each day. So where do you find direction in this unstable, changing world? I think all of you here know what the answer is, but we need to be sure and need to pass on that message to those around us. What standards and rules do you live by, even when no one is watching you? Are you guilty of cutting some corners, neglecting to report certain things because, no one asked? Or do you justify some bad actions because, hey, everybody else is doing it? That seems to be the trend in our culture, in our society today. People are slipping further and further away from accountability before the Almighty God and just doing what comes to their mind. But in the long run, they will have to answer for each and every one of those choices. We will answer for all of our choices. Isaiah writes to his fellow Judeans, and we've touched on this last week, and we will touch on it again this coming week. But today's message is focused on this verse out of Isaiah chapter 33, verse 22. "For the Lord is our judge, the Lord is our lawgiver, the Lord is our king. He will save us." The prophet of God, Isaiah, reminds his countrymen, and he reminds us that even when we live in a world filled with all kinds of trials and adversity, And even if we are under governing rulers who are perverted or corrupt or something we don't agree with, we still live by a higher calling. We live by God's standards because the Lord is our lawgiver. God has given us the guidelines by which we are to live by. All who desire eternal life with the Lord God that will last for eternity must hear Him and remain true to His perfect and holy laws. We are here to examine ourselves and to challenge ourselves to be sure that we're walking in the law of God so that He will grant us life. Would you join me in a word of prayer at this time? Father, we thank You for this day, for a beautiful day, and the opportunity to gather, to worship You, to sing songs of praise, to reflect upon Your goodness, Your faithfulness to us, and giving us word of that sustain us day by day and will carry us into eternity. We thank You that the Word has come and made Himself present in this world and has given Himself fully and completely in our behalf. Let us fully and completely give ourselves to You in Your service, no matter what the cost, no matter what the challenge. Thank You for this day. Thank You for those who are here. And we ask Your blessing upon this message. Help us to hear Your words, Your message to our hearts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This is the second message of three from this one single verse from Isaiah 33, verse 22. We are looking today at God's Word as what He has to say about the Lord, our lawgiver. Looking through the Scriptures, first of all, we see that God's laws have ruled since the beginning of creation. God's laws have ruled since the beginning of creation. You know, Genesis starts out, in the beginning, God. God is the one who put all this into place. He is the one who is in control. Can you imagine the wisdom that is required to make all of the universe to function, to work together? Just look at your own body, how your body operates with all the different systems, the breathing, the circulation, the muscular, nervous system. Everything works in unity, and when it doesn't work in unity, that's when we see the disease and the problems and the frailties that affect us, but which God tells us about, which Brother Robert brought up in our meditation, that, you know, back in Genesis, when Adam and Eve sinned, that sin didn't just affect them, it affected all of us, and the Scripture says all creation. But that's because it violates God's law. God is the one who gives us the law. He is the one who has ruled since the beginning of creation. Start looking down through the Scriptures. Float along with me as we reflect upon the several different Scriptures. And I've got the references there. And I'd encourage you to take time to go back and read them on your own to reflect and to meditate upon those Scriptures. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 16 and 17, it identifies that God gave only one law, one rule for Adam and Eve to obey. What was that law? Don't eat from this tree. You can eat from all the other trees, but don't eat from this tree. One rule to keep. Did they listen? No. They believed the temptation, the deceit of Satan, the serpent of old, and as a result, they chose poorly, one bad choice, and it's affected not just people, but all of creation. According to Romans chapter 8, we see that there is death and decay through all of creation because of the sin of humanity. And it started with Adam and Eve back in the Garden of Eden. Moving on down through the book of Genesis, chapter 4, verse 7. They had a couple boys, Cain and Abel. And there was a little bit of a problem with Cain. And God warned Cain to examine his heart and his actions. God gave him a very clear warning to master his choices. But Cain chose otherwise, and it resulted in the murder of his brother. And then that led to his rejection from the presence of God and a mark upon himself and a lifelong curse from God. God's law prevailed. Moving on to the next chapter of Genesis, chapter 5. And you're saying, are we going to go through every book of the book? I just want to hit some of the highlights here of these. Genesis chapter 5 flashes through a genealogy of 10 generations from Adam to Noah. What many Bible scholars believe to be a period of around 2,000 years. But no moral progress was made. What happened? People, the prevailing trend of humanity was to reject their Creator, to get further away from God, until we get into further down, chapter 6, verse 5. These are the words, "The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." Now, how bad can you get? Every thought, only evil continually. There was one exception, Noah. Noah was the exception to the condition of humanity. Now the scripture doesn't say he was perfect, but his heart was righteous. He was seeking after God. And because of that, God chose Noah and his family, a total of 8 people, to restart the whole creation of earth, all humanity, all the breath of life was restarted through Noah and his family with not just one direction, but a handful of directions at this point. Go back and read that story. As they come out of the ark, God changed it up a little bit, gave them just a handful of directions to follow. Now, you would think that with just a handful of directions, surely we can handle that, can't we? No, we didn't. These pioneers received just a handful of directions and they scattered to north, south, east, and west. And mankind continued to digress. Genesis, the book of beginnings, chapters 9 through 11, fast forwards through another 2,000 years of human life and sin and rejection of God. There were a couple of little possible positive individuals in there, but through this 2,000 years, we finally end up and we are introduced to a man named Abraham. He was not the perfect man himself either. We are told about some of his choices, some of his lack of faith, but overall, he was a man of faith. He was a man of faith whose heart was set on believing and obeying God overall. And through him, through Abraham's family, would come a promise that God would bless all the nations of the earth. That through his family, all the nations of the earth would be blessed. And as we look at the overall picture of all Scripture, we know that that blessing upon all humanity sums up in one individual, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was the promised blessing. Clear back from the very beginnings of the days, Brother Robert shared with us about the prophecy of the one who had crushed the head of the serpent, and the prophecies continued on down through the ages, and God kept those promises because God is in control. He's always been, always will be. Up to that point and up into the book of Exodus, about chapter 2, takes us through another 600 years of time. God built the nation of Israel through this period. And then we are introduced to Moses. And through Moses, God unveils his laws by which he commanded all people to live by. God gave us what he expects if we are to live a perfect life. Now, this is interesting. Moses was educated in all the laws and all the education, all the history. He was educated as a leader to be of the nation of Egypt in the household of Pharaoh. And yet when we come to the laws that God gave to him, archaeologists and historians have gone back and compared what was the common knowledge of the day with what we find in Scripture, and what God gave to Moses is totally different from all of his education. And as a matter of fact, our modern medical world, based in the early days, their medical science upon this law that God gave through Moses. The common thing, what are we told today to do whenever you go out? Wash your hands. This was one of the requirements in the law, to wash frequently. That was neglected over the centuries, and it was through a doctor who started repracticing this common thing taught in the Old Testament under the law of washing between going through people. Another thing, personal hygiene. Another thing is quarantine. All those things were given by God through the law, and it was definitely not practiced in the world of the Egyptians when God gave it to Moses. God revealed what it means to live a good life, pure life, clean life, healthy life, etc. God's word is good. Throughout the many passages of the Old Testament, we can read many words. The whole entire Psalm 119, 150 verses talks about the value of God's word. But one of my favorites, and the one possibly that you have memorized, Psalm 119, verse 105, thy word is a lamp unto my what? Feet, and a light unto my path. There's a whole bunch more in Psalm 119 we could take and memorize and keep true to our heart in living for the living God. God cares about us, and he gave us his word so that we can live a good life, even though it is a life that is challenged with evil, corruption, and sin. But even though God gave his law and guidelines for living, no person lived it perfectly. Another passage in Psalms chapter 14, verse 3 tells us, from the word of the mouth of God, you might say, they have all turned aside. Together they have become corrupt. There is no one who does good, not even one. This verse is quoted again in the New Testament as the Apostle Peter gave the first sermon on the day of Pentecost. Nobody is living by God's will, his ways, his laws, because we're not able to. We have a nature that is one of sin that started way back there in the Garden of Eden. Because we have this total corrupt nature, what are we going to do? Why does God deal with us? He loves us. He wants to restore a relationship with mankind, so God had a plan. Before even creation was given, God had a plan. God knew that he would need to send a redeemer, a savior. And only God could fill that role, because what's wrong with us people? We're sinners. So God would have to put on shoes and walk among us and fulfill the need. Isaiah chapter 43 verse 11 says, Even I am the Lord, and there is no Savior besides me. There's only one Savior, and he will be God. Now, there's a lot of people who think that they're pretty special in the world, in our past, in our present, and there will be more in the future. But there's only one Savior, and he is God, according to the Word of Scripture. The cost of breaking God's laws is a perfect sacrifice. This is stated throughout the law. And that is what Jesus came to fulfill. Turning to our New Testament, we find in 1 John chapter 2, the end of verse 1 and end of verse 2. If anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he himself is the propitiation. Now that word propitiation means satisfaction, the fulfillment. Jesus is the satisfaction for our sins, and not for our sins only, but also for those of the whole world. Jesus paid it all. Jesus paid for every sin of every person, the most corrupt to the person that we think is the sweetest, nicest person in town. But God says we are all sinners, and we all needed help. And Jesus paid the full price for every sin. God's laws rule for how long? Forever. His will is accomplished, and his rules have to be followed. God knows what is best for mankind. He knows what's best. Now, whenever we go out, we get something new. Have you ever opened up a box and there's a bunch of papers fall out? What are those papers? Directions. Directions. Who needs directions? We got a simple little game, card game here called Apples to Apples. And you open up, the first thing that falls out is what? Other than the cards, directions. Directions for a simple little card game? Yeah, there's a two-page thing here. Tells you what you can do, how old you should be, how many people can play the silly game. It takes one person to just drop it like me, but it comes with directions. It tells you what the limitations are. You get an electric tool, old electric can opener. It tells you, do not run high-grade steel through this. No, it doesn't say that, but it tells you what it is made for. It gives you warnings. It gives you directions. It gives you possibly an example of how to use the thing. It will give you a warranty and tells you how long you to expect the thing to last. God has given us his operation manual. We need an operator's manual. It's pretty big, isn't it? A lot there. In this operation manual, it's full of directions. It's full of examples from the one who made us. It's full of warnings, full of illustrations, good illustrations and bad illustrations. And it gives us restart procedures. How to start over if we will follow the directions, if we will follow the laws. And it also tells us that there's a recall date. There's a recall date that we're going to be finding out if this thing was used properly in the time frame that it was here. There's a whole lot more in the scripture. But it is God's operation manual for us. God knows what's best for us. And we probably should look in the paperwork to see what God wants us to do. God warned mankind through Noah before the flood to change their ways. But the people refused to listen, and so only Noah and his family, a total of 8, got on the ark. God personally wrote his 10 commandments on stone tablets to give to Moses to instruct Israel. And Moses walked down the mountainside, and what was the first thing he did with those stone tablets? He broke them, because the people were breaking every law in the book. He says, you're not even worthy of these. But God rewrote them for him, and those stone tablets were put into the Ark of the Covenant. Then God dictated the rest of the Mosaic law to Moses to write down, to teach the people so they would know how to live. Did they listen? No. As Joshua neared his death, he warned Israel that they would serve a god. You'll either serve the gods of the local Amorites, the local Canaanites, or you will serve the Lord God. And then he said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Will you join us? Serve the Lord? Will you follow His law? Oh yeah, we'll serve. Lasted one generation. Kind of. I had Brother Ted read Psalm chapter 1. The entire Psalm. All six verses this morning. Thank you, brother. In that Psalm, God discusses how He will strengthen and preserve those who follow His word, those who follow His law. But God also says, if you don't follow it, there's a curse. There's a curse. Choose to follow it. Psalm 19, verses 7 through 9, gives us some beautiful words. The law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true. They are righteous altogether. We move on to the book of Isaiah, chapter 51, verses 4 and 5. God said, pay attention to me, O my people, and give ear to me, O my nation, for a law will go forth from me, and I will set my justice for a light of the peoples. My righteousness is near. My salvation has gone forth, and my arms will judge the peoples. The coastlands will wait for me, and for my arm they will wait expectantly. This is future tense. God was going to do this. I thought He already gave them the law. What is He talking about? What is this law that God was going to send? What is this justice that God was going to send? What is this light? Oh, it might turn on a light bulb right there. I think I read something about that, didn't I? The light. What is this righteousness that was to come? What is this salvation that was to come? What is this judge that God was referring to? We talked about the judge last week, didn't we? Jesus. Jesus Christ is the lawgiver. James chapter 4, verse 12. That's a very interesting statement. There is only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and to destroy. He's talking about Jesus Christ there in the book of James. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 4 and verse 14. You have heard me refer to this over and over again, haven't you? They're powerful verses. The Apostle John says, in the beginning was the what? Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through Him, and apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. We skip down to verse 14. And the Word became what? Flesh, and dwelt among us. And we saw His glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus is the lawgiver. Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus is so much. Righteousness, peace, and more. Matthew chapter 5, verse 17 through 18, and Jesus was talking to the crowds, and Jesus announced that He came to fulfill the law. What did the law require? The law required full payment for all the broken rules, all of the sin that humanity had committed. A perfect sacrifice was needed to eliminate the curse that was brought on them by the law. Jesus was going to eliminate the curse. Jesus came as the answer to our need. Jesus came as the fulfillment of the law. Colossians chapter 2, starting in verse 9, several verses there. Jesus is described as God in human flesh, and he provided divine love to those who believe in him. Those who are baptized into Christ are raised into his life. Verse 13 and 14 says, "And when you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made you alive together with him, having forgiven us all of our transgressions, having canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us and which was hostile to us. He has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross." See the cross over there? Illustration from the past. Our sin has been nailed to the cross because of Jesus. Jesus became sin, Scripture says, and he was nailed to the cross, died, paid for our punishment with his own death. Jesus also said in John chapter 12, verse 48, "He who rejects me and does not receive my sayings has one who judges him. The word I spoke is what will judge him at the last day." The word of Jesus becomes our law, our standard, and not ours alone. It is the standard by which all of the world will be judged. Jesus declares that his teachings are the final law by which people are either saved or condemned. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, Jesus, in his final few moments on this earth before he floated up into heaven, he said to his disciples, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me." Jesus is the one who determines what the law is. Last week we talked about he's the judge. Today we talk about he's the law. The last part of the verse, he is king. He is the one that all humanity is called to pay attention to heed, to follow, to walk with. Jesus has authority. He's the law. He came to save us. He is the doorway to heaven. He is the judge. He's the lawgiver. We need to honor him with our life. He is the King of kings, Lord of lords. We need to live for Jesus. We need to live by his word. Jesus invites us, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you" what? Rest. Would you take his word, learn from it, follow it, obey it, and be his people? We live for the Lord who is the lawgiver. And so love, what's the greatest love? Loving God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. A second law is just like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. If we live by Jesus' standards, what do we receive? Eternity with him, with the Father in heaven. Let's live by the standards that God gives to us through Jesus, the Savior of the world. Would you join me in prayer? Father, I thank you for Jesus. I thank you for his coming, the fulfillment of all those prophecies, that all of Scripture is wrapped up in the Word who became flesh and dwelt among us, who has given his all for us, has conquered death in our behalf. He's coming again to take all of your children into eternal blessings, eternal provision. Thank you for Jesus. Let us walk with him. Live by his word, live in his word, live for his word. Lead us and guide us. We pray for that. If there are any who need to make a commitment to you, need to walk with you, that they would step up and talk with one of us and that we can lead them to your joy as they obey your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.